We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We've got different Sunday school classes split up and going to different places, and each one of the missionaries are speaking in different places. And so what we're trying to do is get a chance to have you hear each one of the missionaries. And when I say each one of them, depending upon your Sunday school class, and Brother Dan Bennett is the speaker in this Sunday school class here. And as folks continue to come in, please ignore the fact that people are coming in, and just pay attention. Try to make sure that you hear the message that he's got for us today. As people will continue to come in over time, they'll come in, and they'll be looking for their classroom. So we tried to make the announcement, but they'll be looking to try to find a place to go. So there will be people late as they went to their old classroom. Oh, I forgot. And then they'll come back to here. So we'll try to guide them around. But I want to just thank you all for being here this morning. And I want to ask that you would give your undivided attention this morning. Brother Dan and Becky Bennett have been in Brazil for 20 plus years. 17 years, close. The Lord's been very good to them. They reach a group of people that no one really thinks much about. And that is the death of Brazil. Now, you don't think much about it. But if you have a disability, the world kind of pushes you aside. And if you're deaf, you're in a different world on your own. Because you're not like everybody else. You can't understand people unless you can see their lips. And I can tell you this, it is very difficult for the normal person that has hearing to understand the disability of deafness. It is debilitating. It is learning a new language, sign language. And yet you want to be normal. So, you know, it's a difficult thing. And deaf people usually a little more difficult to work with. Am I correct? And they don't understand things like we do. As many people of disability are the same way. So we want to just take a little bit of time this morning and have Brother Dan and Becky, Brother Dan especially, just be able to share with us his heart about the work, about what God's burdened him for a lesson this morning. And so, you know, anytime somebody goes to a foreign country and raises their family and builds a work, they are in great respect. And I want you to pay very close attention, Brother Dan, this morning, and a very faithful servant of the Lord. Brother Dan, you come and teach us the lesson this morning. Lord bless you. I won't shake my hand. I don't know what the problem is.
Here we go. I think I've got a heavy Bible, so it did. I've got
how's that?
If it'll stay there, that's great.
It'll stay there.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. It'll stay there.
Well, good morning. You know, some of you are awake. I appreciate that. We are. I'm Dan Bennett. This is my wife, Becky. And we have been in Brazil for 17 years. We took four small children to Brazil with us. And God has graciously given us three more. We love what we do. We love serving the Lord in the country of Brazil. We love the people. I went to Brazil in 1985. My oldest brother was a missionary in Brazil at that time. And I went just for the sole purpose of visiting my brother. And I was there for 2 months in the country of Brazil. And while there, God just gave me a love for the people. Now, São Paulo is a big city. It's got some magnificent skyscrapers. And there's one building we can go to. It's got a restaurant on the 42nd story of the building. And as you go out and see the immensity of the city, it's just an eye-opening experience. But it wasn't the city. It was the people that God gave me a love for. Because there are other ugly places as well. Sin is rampant. kind of like in Washington, D.C., amen? God is doing something. I can say God is doing something in Brazil. God is working. And if you talk to other missionaries, we listened to the testimony of Brother Sean Alexander, and God is doing something in his city as well. We're a couple hours away from them. God is doing something in New Zealand. And if you talk to your missionaries, as you read your prayer letters, God is doing something. But I'm encouraged to come here and see that God is doing something right here. Now, sometimes we don't understand all that God is doing. Sometimes we have difficulties. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And as you may know, this was written by the Apostle Paul, one of the prison epistles, approximately A.D. 64. It was a time of great persecution. God was at work. Many Christians were being imprisoned, tortured, killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. God was at work. There were trials. There was testing. There was suffering. There were hardships. And Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, and he wanted them to know that God was at work in their lives, even though there was hardship, even though there were difficulties, even though there was persecution, and Christians were being murdered or martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, just as it was in AD 64, in 2016, there is persecution happening today. If you look on, you look at Voice of the Martyrs. I was looking on the website yesterday, it's persecution.com. But I was reading of one lady in Uganda. Her husband had died. He was a Muslim. But after he died, she went to the Christian church and was saved. And she started raising her children in the Christian church. And her son became very sick. He was in the hospital. She sold her last cow to try and pay for the medical expenses. He died. She thinks he was poisoned by the Muslims in the village. Her daughter is sick now. I just read this yesterday. It was posted last week. Persecution is happening today in 2016. And, the Christian life is not always easy. Jesus said, there will be persecution. Take up your cross and follow me. And he promised his disciples that in this life they would suffer persecution. And we as Christians today, I believe persecution is coming to America. And we need to be ready for it. We need to be aware that the freedom that we hold today may not always be as it is today. Some of you this morning, you may be going some things. Of course, you are going through some things that I know nothing about. I don't know all your situations, what you're going through. God does know. And Paul, when he wrote here in Philippians chapter 1, let me start there. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. And verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, y'all are partakers of my grace. Now, when I say God is working in your life. And you say, what kind of work is God doing in my life? You may be going through difficulties, struggles, sickness, hardships with your family, with your children, at work. But what is God doing? There's four things I want to point out. Number one, it is a divine work. Because He, where it says in verse 6, that He which hath begun a good work in you, He is referring to God. It is a divine work. Now, God is at work in our lives. If you are saved, you're a Christian, you have repented of your sin, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He began a good work in you. And so we need to remember, of all the things that happens to us, it is God who is at work. Paul said he was confident, he was convinced, he was persuaded of this very thing that he. And we need to remember that God, it is God who is at work. God, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent God of the universe, the eternal, unchanging God, He is the one who is at work in our lives. So we, when things go wrong, and that's another thing to think about, when things go wrong, we need to remember that God is in control. And we can be confident that with God being His divine work, that He knows what He is doing, even when we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening. So God is working. Now, let me also say, because if you're a Christian, the devil is also at work. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. God is at work, and the devil also is trying to work against you. God is working for you because he loves you. But if you're a Christian, the devil hates you, and he's working against you. So God is at work. It is a divine work. Number two, it is a designed work. It is a designed work. He that hath begun a good work in you. In you. Each individual. God has designed your life. He has a purpose for your life. It is specifically designed for you. Now, I was talking to Brother Brandon, I think it was the day before yesterday. He was talking about you're trying to sell this property and go on to a new property. And he was talking about the building that you plan to do and all the things. He said, we've got this, I don't know how many 1,000-square-foot building plan, I don't know, 4,000 or something. And he's got to put the light fixtures in and the wall sockets and light switches. And there's a lot of planning that goes into building a building. God, who is the divine, the perfect, the supreme, the magnificent being of the universe, He is designing your life. And He has designed it for your good. I'm almost afraid to move this here. There we go. Let's just leave it down here. Yeah, we'll just leave it down here. And I'll have to look down. Turn with me, if you would, real quickly to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Genesis chapter 50. I love the story of Joseph. We named our oldest son Joseph because of Joseph here. But you're familiar with the story of what Joseph went through because of his brothers. But in the end, Joseph's brothers were fearful what might happen to them because of what they had done to him. But in Genesis 50:20, he's talking to his brother. They came to him and said, "Oh, please forgive us. You know, Don't harm us. He says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You know, a lot of things happen in our lives that God, He knew 20, 30 years ago where we needed to be today. And He has designed these things. I mean, Joseph, you know, his brothers stripped him of his coat, threw him in the pit, sold him into slavery. He was accused falsely, went to prison, all these things. And God was in control of it all. And Joseph, he's, you know, why me? I didn't do anything wrong. But he realized that it was God who was at work, and God had divinely designed for these things to happen to put him where he needed to be at this particular time in his life. God is in control. We're out of control, but God is in control. And I have two of my kids who work at the Creation Museum. To see the magnificence of God, you know, maybe like a hummingbird wing under a microscope or something, a snowflake. I've seen pictures of, people take pictures of snowflakes. My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, she has a camera and she'll take a close-up of a snowflake. And just the beauty, the magnificence, the intricate detail, and they're all different. I tried that one time. Snow started falling, so I got my camera out and I took a picture. It was a blur. It was terrible. But I've gone to the eye doctor, and they have this big eye about 3 feet tall, you know, and they have all the... This is nothing. This is not by chance. God, in creation, to say God is the intelligent designer. Now, God who created the human body, the solar system, and all the things that we see, He also has intelligently designed your life. You know, nothing happens in your life by accident. Nothing happens just by chance, happenstance. You know, the blueprint of your life has been designed in heaven by God. From the day, let's say here, He which began a work, good work in you, the day you were saved, He has a blueprint for your life until you die or until Jesus Christ comes back. Now, it is a divine work, but it's also a designed work. Now, let me also say again, God has designed your life. But the devil is also trying to get you off track, to derail you. And we have to be very careful. The devil will tempt you to do wrong. He'll get you off track. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get derailed. You'll miss the beauty, the blessings of God's will. And in James chapter 1, it talks about, you know, God does not tempt you with evil. The devil does. God will test you, but He tests you for a purpose, which is part of His divine plan, because from here to here. Now, have you been to a parade before? Yeah. It starts here and it goes all the way over here, and you stand on the side of the street as, you know, the floats go by, or the marching band, or the Shriners in little cars. You know, you see it all goes by one thing at a time, and you watch it. And God is up here. He can see the beginning from the end. And He sees all that. No, we don't see that. In our life, we see what's happening right now. We can't see tomorrow. But God sees that. And we need to realize that it is God who is doing a divine work in our life. But it is a designed work specifically for each person. And let me also say, it is a deliberate work. It is a deliberate work. It says, He which hath begun a good work in you, He will perform it. He is at work. What He starts, He finishes. In the days of creation, He did this on day one. He saw that it was good. He did this on day two, and He saw that it was good. All the way through creation. He didn't leave anything undone. What He began, He will finish. And what He does well. And what God began in you, He will perform it. He will accomplish it. He will do it. He will finish it. You know, a lot of times we see something that happens like, oh man, he had a lucky break. Or that was a stroke of luck. With God, there is no lucky break. There is no stroke of luck. Oh, you are fortunate. Well, if you're a Christian, you know what? God has divinely designed deliberately for these things to happen in your life. Again, like Joseph in prison, lied about. We don't understand all those things. And they may be very uncomfortable, undesirable. But God has a purpose for your life. God is working. What He began to do, He began to do deliberately, intentionally, not by chance or haphazardly. The good work in you, which He hath begun, He will see to it that it gets done, and it will be good. With God, there's no accidents. And He doesn't do anything unintentionally. God doesn't do anything unintentionally. In your life, you may have cancer. I have an inflamed rotator cuff. And it's like, you know, I did something dumb. God knew that was going to happen before. Like, He designed for this to happen. Well, He knows what's going to happen here because of this. And He knows what's going to happen here because of this. And I may be meeting people that I never intended to meet. We've got an old car in Brazil. And for the most time, it runs pretty good. For the most part. But there was a time where, I mean, it broke down here and it broke down here. I mean, three times almost in a row, Brother Sisk. It was, we were kind of scratching our head and kind of like, Lord, what have I done? Why me? And I think I told my wife, I said, I think the Lord is giving us a tow truck ministry. We're able to give tracks and witness the tow truck driver. Well, those things that we don't intend for. Well, there's somebody who needs the gospel. You know, here in D.C., do you know anybody who needs the gospel here in D.C. or in Fairfax and Herndon? Man, there are people all around you that things happen. You don't just, oh, what a coincidence. With God, there are no coincidences. He is divinely doing something. He has designed for this to happen deliberately. You can trust God. And once again, and I'm not trying to take away from God in His splendor and magnificence. But the devil is also deliberately trying to trip you up. God loves you and He wants the best for you. And He's bringing you down this path. And the devil's watching. And he's going to try to trip you up. He's going to tempt you to do wrong. I told my kids for years and years and years, all my kids, anybody who tries to get you to do wrong is not your friend. It's just that simple. Someone's going to tempt you to do wrong, that's not your friend. But The devil is trying to trip you up. The devil does not want you to be faithful Christians. He doesn't want you to be faithful to church. He doesn't want you to tithe. He doesn't want you to give the faith promise. He doesn't want you to witness. He doesn't want you to hand out tracts. The devil is trying to trip you up deliberately. You know, when so, it is a divine work. It's a designed work. It's a deliberate work. And number four, it is a daily work. It says here in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ, Jesus Christ. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean for you and me? The day of Jesus Christ is the day that you meet Jesus Christ face to face. You know, whether that's in death or whether that's at the rapture. The people here, in AD 64, they were looking for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Now, he did not come back in their time, but they did see him face to face, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Now, and you hear this so often, Jesus is coming back. But are you looking for him to come back? I mean, are you anxious for him to come back? I think the older I get, the more anxious I become. Now, ever since I was a kid, you know, my dad was a pastor. And he had a plaque in his office, perhaps today. And I saw that many, 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 many times. And my dad, 50 years ago, he was looking for Jesus Christ to come back. And he preached it. But are we anxious for the Lord to come back? I think we get comfortable. And we're just kind of enjoying life right now as it is. You know, whether you enjoy your job, and not that there's nothing wrong with enjoying your job. You just get comfortable and all these things I'm going to say, whether it's your job or your nice house, there's nothing wrong with having a nice house. Or your nice car, your nice clothes, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. All those things are wonderful. But looking for Jesus Christ ought to be our first priority. I heard one man preach. And he said, you know, I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus, but I don't necessarily want to be on the next bus. I'm thinking, is it so good here that you would rather stay here than go be with Jesus in heaven? That kind of made me stop and think. There is nothing here that would prevent me from being willing to get on the next bus. I love my wife. I love my kids. But I'm ready to go see Jesus. These people here were anxiously awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was reminded, you know, God is at work. He's allowing the persecution, but he's allowing it. He is designing it. He is deliberately at work in your life, and he's going to continue working until you see Jesus. God wants to work in you every day. But you need to be in his word every day for him to work in you every day. But we need to be willing. We need to be taking time. You know, if you're too busy to spend time with the Lord, you're just too busy. And I imagine the pastor says that in Brazil, I tell our people, we just need to read the Bible and pray. I find it very humbling that the God of the universe, He doesn't need me. Now, I need him. But he doesn't need me. But he wants to spend time with me. He wants that fellowship. He wants communion. He wants me to set aside everything else and just sit down and talk with him and let him talk to me. And that is incredible. The Creator, the supreme being of all, he wants to spend time with me. The things that we go through, God is at work. Romans 8:28, you're familiar with Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we say that. We know that. We live it. But sometimes we forget, you know. But this happened. We were, oh, I better say the right name. whoever these people are over here, we're staying at their home. Tom and Debbie. I've been calling them Bob and Betty. But, then I saw something, he had T. Wiggs. I'm thinking, I thought the name was Wiggs, not Twigs. Yeah, their daughter and son-in-law were there, and I think it's his son-in-law's brother's uncle's niece's nephew or something. Somebody had an accident. There was some family member had an accident. The truck was turned upside down. And we kind of, wow, man, they were going too fast around that curve. And thankfully nobody was injured. But it's like to say all things work together for good. Well, maybe God has a ministry, a tow truck ministry for that guy over there. You know, Genesis 50 again, 20. Those guys meant it for evil. But God means it for good. God is at work in our lives. Don't get distraught. Don't get frustrated. I know sometimes it's very easy to get frustrated, discouraged. God is at work. And He has promised here that He is going to continue working in your life until Jesus Christ comes back, until you die, until you see your Savior face to face. And then you'll be able to look back like, you know what? This hard time here, this difficulty or sickness or accident, God meant it for good. God is at work in your life. And He is working in you so that He can do a good work through you. You know what happens to you? He wants to use that for a specific purpose. But it's not just about us. He's working in us, yes, but He wants to work through us so that what happens in our lives, we can use that to have an influence on somebody else. If it's all about us, you know, I've heard people who are all wrapped up in themselves make a mighty small package. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. So Him working through us, even in difficult times. And as I said, we may come face to face with persecution. But it's so we can influence others. I don't know if you kept abreast of Pastor Saeed when he was in prison for over 3 years or something. And we prayed. I don't know the man. I don't know what church he's a member of. But I did pray for his release. But I heard that in prison, when he was being tortured, he led a number of those people to the Lord. And without his imprisonment, those people would probably never have gotten saved. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And the same with your life and my life. Each day, each persecution, each trial, each hardship, God meant it for good. God is at work. Don't shirk from God's work. Let Him work. Accept His will. Accept what He has for you. Because he's God. It will be good. It will be best. And we can trust it. Well, Paul, in verse 7, he says, I have you in my heart as much as in both my bonds and my defense, confirmation of the gospel. You all partakers of my grace. God's grace is sufficient for everything that we go through, everything that comes our way. God's grace is sufficient. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your blessing, for your word. Thank you, God, that you are working in our lives. And we don't have to understand. We just have to trust. Lord, there may be things that are beyond our comprehension. That we may think, well, it may be easier if something happened. Or God, help us to realize that you are at work. It's a divine, celestial, holy work. And God, we are grateful that you have designed our life. You are deliberately working. And I just thought of the children's song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Thank you, God, that you're still working. And Lord, help us to never lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. And help us to live for you each day with that thought, with that fact in mind. Lord, we are grateful. We love you. Use us, I pray, for the people here in this auditorium. Do a great work in their lives as well. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.